He also said that he saw in the circle a little old gentleman wearing a skull cap and using a stick for walking about. This answers the description of a Mr. Schaefer, who once owned a house, and the description Mr. Endicott gave is precisely the same as that given by Mrs. Emerson, Nurse Graham, a week before when Husk was the medium. Mr. Endicott and Mrs. Emerson do not know one another. The Oriental spirits were specially active on this evening. I saw one, who brought his own light, fall forward and dematerialize at the feet of a lady 3 feet away from me. The illuminated slates were seen in the air 4 to 8 feet above us and about 7 feet apart. Apparently there were 3 or more Indian spirits, for one of the slates, that nearly over me, was dropped from a height of 8 feet above me, and caught by a spirit below who was level with me head. Mr. Endicott could see the forms. Ora pro nobis was sung in the cabinet in a woman's voice. Joey told A. He had been Western parading on Saturday night and doing hanky-panky with the table. See notes of December 2nd. On January 14, 1906, at Pinna, Circle of 8, 2 astral forms appeared at the same time. A spirit called Grant Duff was announced as present in the cabinet. 2 days after, January 16, the Times announced that the Right Honorable Sir Mountstuart Elphinstone Grant Duff, C.S.I., had died on the 12th. A short time before, through Mrs. Arnold, at Southsea, a spirit had promised to appear to me without slate. On this evening the same spirit came to me without slate and identified herself. A woman's voice sang solo in the cabinet. A sister of May came to me in a substantial woman's dress, white sleeves, dark bodice and skirt. She invited me to take the skirt in my hand. 23 On January 21, 1906 at Pinna, Circle of 7. An astral form came very slowly and silently to me. By the spirit light she carried, I was able to recognize the face of an old relative, and to distinguish the domino and delicate drapery. She bowed her head low to the name I gave her, as if in assent, spoke my name and allowed me to take her hand. This form was about 4 feet 6 inches in height and the hand was the size of that of a child. Having remained nearly a minute, it sank slowly down and dematerialized at my feet. It was Iola. Joey, speaking to me from the cabinet, gave the names of certain spirits who, he asserted, were present. One was a brother officer, another a friend who died about 15 years ago and whom I had not seen for over 20 years. When I parted from him in the distant colony of the Fiji Islands, Joey said Grand Canary Islands. Both names, especially the latter, were uncommon ones. After the seance Graham called for a sitter present to make passes before the medium, and for me to put my hands on this man's shoulders. The curtain was drawn around us. Graham gave directions through the mouth of Crack. I distinctly heard Joey, Cerise and Sister Amy speak at this time in the cabinet. After 2 or 3 minutes, Graham having ceased to speak, Crack gave a convulsive start and slowly came to life. Within 20 minutes he was able to leave the room. I remained in the house for a quarter of an hour, to complete my notes. On taking leave of Crack I found him very dazed, and, apparently, surprised at seeing me in the house so long after the other sitters had left. When I shook hands with him the action seemed to give him pain. 24 On February 11, 1906. Circle of 10. 6 of those present are mediumistic, and all are spiritualists. An astral form came silently towards me, bringing its own light, by which I recognized the face as that of Iola. It was about 4 feet 6 inches high, face small, pallid and ethereal. The beautiful form dematerialized at my feet. The light did not disappear till it was 15 inches from the floor. A little child touched all the circle twice. On February 18, 1906, Circle of 12, a draped figure came to me silently, without light, on 2 occasions, merging and returning through the cabinet near which I was sitting, and called me by name. I took the hands, which were trembling violently. Joey Grimaldi said to me, "I heard you talking with A. the other night about the medium being brought out as Abdullah. I is not the medium but his astral body, which we use to shape the form of the spirits. He was wrong on that point. It is a fact that such a conversation had taken place on that subject in my room at Southsea, A. And another sitter having seen trousers under Abdullah's robe, Joey said to me, "There is a Mr. B. here who thinks you can give a message to his wife. He would like her to know that he is still alive and watching over her." Mr. B. was a low church minister at Southsea. I had heard of him, but not made his acquaintance, and did not know that he had left a widow. A few days afterwards I learnt, on inquiry, that his widow lived in strict retirement at Southsea. 25 to materialized figures, after showing their faces to me, fell sideways on the floor without a sound, their faces being visible until they reached within a foot of the carpet. I made passes in the cabinet to bring the medium to. Graham talked to me for some time, and before he left the body of the medium, Sister Amy and Joey said goodnight to me from different places in the cabinet. 26 on February 25, 1906. At Pinner. Circle of six. All sitters, except one, mediumistic. Sister Amy told me that she had been in my room at Southsea, when I was sorting papers into a bureau. An American bureau had been given to me a short time before, and I had spent the best part of half a day sorting papers into it. She also said that the doctor, meaning Graham, was in my room when A. and I were discussing astralations. The doctor thought we had made a mistake in one thing. A. and I had often discussed both materializations and astrals in my room. This evening there were no less than 40 materializations. As many of them came out with a rush and showed immediately after one another, at one moment there being two faces showing to two sitters simultaneously, it is impossible they could all have been personations by crack. I have no doubt that most of them were genuine spirit forms. 27 on March 8, 1906. At a private house, circle of 14, I sat next to the curtain of the cabinet at one corner. The curtain used in this house is one continuous piece of stuff, and opens only in the middle of the front to admit of the ingress and egress of the forms. After some delay, alleged to be necessary for the accumulation of power, the materialized forms, or what purported to be such, came out, apparently in a batch. Two faces showed to two sitters 8 feet apart simultaneously, and there appeared to be other moving in the center of the semicircle. The presentation of faces followed one another with great rapidity up to the number of six or seven. I heard the medium rubbing himself in the cabinet at intervals while these forms were out. The French spirit, Cerise, spoke to me from just inside the corner of the cabinet. I asked her to take my hand. She said I was too masculine, but she grasped my hand with the curtain between us. I asked her to take the hand of the lady on my left, and guided the lady's right hand with my left towards the corner of the curtain. Her arm was touched, and her bare hand stroked by the bare hand of Cerise. I regarded this at the time, and do so now, as an instance of the passage of matter through matter, for there was no opening in the curtain through which Cerise could have passed her materialized hand. Dr. Alfred Russell Wallace mentions similar cases which came under his own observations in America. On March 17, 1906, in my library at Southsea, I held a table séance with A. alone. Iola made herself known, and gave a message implying doubt as to her being present at a séance to be held on Thursday, the 22nd, at a private house in London. Joey made himself known, swaying the table about in his usual violent manner. Not long after this, A. experienced a sort of electric shock down his right arm, and said he felt impelled to write automatically. This was the first time he had felt such an impulse. The writing was illegible. The first words might read, "Will you inquire?" But these words are not clear, the rest is scrawl. At the time we put the attempted writing down to the influence of Iola, who had come earlier, and we did not connect Joey with it. Sunday, March 18th, was the day of the exposure of crack. About 20 minutes before the medium was seized, I asked Joey, "What were you doing last night between 9:30 and 10 o'clock?" He replied, "I was down in your room trying to make hay." Right. Under no conceivable circumstances could crack have known, normally, of A.'s attempt at automatic writing the previous night. The exposure put an end to the projected séance at the private house which had been arranged for the following Thursday. Thus, Iola's doubt was explained. The items I have recorded here are not a quarter of those in my notes made at the time, which convince me that Crack possesses the gift of mediumship. Every man or woman who has sat with this medium 10 times could furnish similar evidences if they have jotted down their experiences within 24 hours of each séance, but if postponed to a later date, their notes are of no use. Those who assert that Crack is an ordinary vulgar cheat are as much in error as the infatuated women who have written him expressions of sympathy and confidence. 6 clairvoyants of undoubted power, 5 of whom are professionals not previously acquainted with him, have sat next to me at his séances. All assured me that the manifestations they witnessed were genuine, and 3 described to me forms which subsequently made themselves known to my non-mediumistic senses. I have not sat with Crack since his exposure. He is undoubtedly a psychic, but his guide Graham is not to be trusted, and one never knows when he may be again tempted to help out his seances by bringing into the room on his person drapery and articles that should have no place there. He was condemned, not because he was found outside the cabinet, but because he refused a test of honesty which the sitters had a perfect right to demand. We were all glad that he escaped imprisonment at the subsequent trial for fraud. The fine that was inflicted by the magistrates at Edgware crippled him for some time, taught him, I hope, the valuable lesson that honesty is the best policy. I pass on to a few brief descriptions of manifestations I saw when sitting with Husk in 1905-6. All the seances I shall refer to were held in our private rooms in St. John's Wood and in George Street, Portman Square. Many of the phenomena were precisely the same at one meeting as another. It is no use repeating these. I propose only to record those incidents at the seances which struck me as specially remarkable. February 7, 1905. Circle of 11 people. In the middle of the materializations, Foley sang Rocket in the Cradle of the Deep with special emphasis and power. The volume of sound filled the lofty room. He had strength to sing a few words of Off to Philadelphia in the morning before he departed. There's Ether, known as the Fairy Bells, worked by the spirit Ebenezer, played round the circle over the heads of all the sitters, rose to a height of 10 or 12 feet above the table, still playing a definite tune, then dashed through the floor, played beneath, and returned to the room as on previous occasions. The Captain D. alluded to in Crack's seances came to me. I said, I am very glad to see you. Did you materialize for me before last night? I never met you in earth life, and did no know you. The head bowed and the slate dropped, then my hand was stroked 3 times, and a whisper came out of the darkness, you are right, Admiral. I came to you as a link of sympathy between me and day my kind remembrances to him. John King took great pains to dematerialize deliberately. I saw his head enter the table. The spirit controls called Uncle and Joey talked until Husk was quite normal. One sitter asked Uncle, are you using the medium's throat? If so, he must have a long neck. The sitter who asked the question was about 4 feet from the medium. When we were singing, spirit voices joined in from above with great strength. February 13, 1905. Uncle was heard talking after Husk came out of trance. February 14, 1905. A gentleman who was present spoke to the Greek priests in Russian, and obtained brief but satisfactory replies. The room rocked under our feet. February 21, 1905. Circle of 13 people. My relative A. recognized 2 friends in the materializations. One of the had, in life, a Jewish nose and was identified by that feature. March 14, 1905. Circle of 13 people. I was discussing with a lady the unevenness of the tops of the table. Uncle came close up to me and said, Admiral, it wants a good holy stoning, doesn't it? The word holy stoning is almost unknown to any person outside of a man of war. The decks of the old wooden vessels were holy stoned once a week. The effect was to make them smooth and clean. I thought this remark showed a knowledge of trifling in matters that was extraordinary. No other person in the room knew what the spirit was talking about. During materializations, a ball of stuff appeared to me. The color of terracotta, it had no features whatever. As it was evidently intended to represent a head, I asked, "Are you Iola?" The ball made a movement as if in assent. "Then please come round and speak to me." The ball disappeared. A minute later a face appeared with the lower part all muffled up, as is often the case with materializations of women. Again I asked the same question, and the head bowed assent. Later in the evening the spirit came round to me and made her presence known in an unmistakable manner. The professional clairvoyante, Mrs. Fairclough Smith, was one of the sitters. She informed me when the séance was over that a lady, description good, was standing behind me all the evening. March 20, 1905. Circle of 14 people. Two of the sitters were a good old German Jew and his niece. A voice came from the darkness speaking to them in Hebrew. Four or five materializations appeared to them, all eventually recognized, and a favorite hymn was played on the zither. There was also, on this evening, an Indian, who spoke rapidly and fluently in Hindustani. Iola manifested to me outside the circle, the slate being held for her by uncle. I was sitting between Mrs. Husk and Mrs. Fairclough Smith, and the latter gave a correct description of my guide, but her name was never mentioned. March 28, 1905. Circle of 12 people. John King gripped me by the left shoulder, and told me he had been hunting up old records and found out that he succeeded Lynch as governor of Jamaica. There was a Richard Morgan who came before him as governor, and the names were sometimes confused. He believed that he, Sir Henry, was governor three separate times, not consecutively, but they would make further inquiries. I have not been able to find out if this is correct. Mrs. Husk told me that the spirit lady, who had attended at the circle before, was floating, as it were, behind me. I asked her to find out her name, and about 10 minutes later she gave me the earth name of Iola, not that by which she was called by me, but the name she was called by only one or two members of the family. Uncle came up and told me that Mrs. Husk had got the name clairaudiently. After the departure of John King, the figure gradually faded away. A lady was sitting on my right, who was greeted by name by John King. I asked her when she had last seen him, and she said, 2 years ago. The memory of this control is truly remarkable, as I have often found out myself. Joey spoke when Husk was out of trance, and as Husk was being led downstairs, Uncle was heard to say, "You ought to have a sentinel here." This was an allusion to a fumbling at the door during the séance. April 3, 1905. A circle of 15 people. There were three irreconcilable skeptics present, and it was somewhat extraordinary that the séance was as successful as it was. The only indication of want of harmony was a change in the usual order of presentation of the phenomena. Three materializations took place as soon as Uncle had made himself known, and the voice of the cardinal and the tunes on the zither were not heard till after these forms had collapsed. The phenomenon that Uncle calls the striking proof was much in evidence on this evening. The spirit holding the tubes touches lightly the head of a sitter, and almost immediately afterwards the ceiling of the room. The tube is then dropped upon the table. In its fall it does not touch either the hands of the sitters or the illuminated slates or the zither on the table. It alights on the table itself, and rebounds for a short distance. Two of the skeptics were give the striking proof, and the tube was laid over their arms when the solos were sung, to show that it was not used for assistance during the singing. There were some 20 materializations during the evening, most of which were recognized. April 4, 1905. Circle of 15 people. On this evening, very early in the séance, soon after Uncle had made himself known, my guide touched me on the shoulder and gave me her earth name. I did not in the least expect her at this time, and the manifestation so early was a great surprise. One lady of the society, who had made some mistake as to the time of a meeting, came with her daughter to the door. Finding that the séance had already begun, they remained outside, and heard the singing distinctly. This was a good proof for those who entertained the idea of collective hallucination, of which I was not one, that their speculations were groundless. April 28, 1905. Circle of 14 people. Husk came, suffering from a bad cold. The singing was as good as usual, but the materializations were not numerous. May 1, 1905. Circle of 13 people. A Scotch spirit came in, and sang with great fire and energy Scots Wahey Why Wallace Bled. 29. The test seance. On May 2, 1905, with Husk's concurrence, we held a test seance in our room in George Street. I sat between Husk and his wife, my left little finger being hooked to his right, and Mrs. Alleen, a lady upon whom we could all rely, sat on his left, her right little finger being hooked to his left. The medium for 10 years had been accustomed to having his wife or some friend with psychic powers sitting on his right. I am not gifted with any mediumistic powers, consequently conditions were much disturbed, and it was not expected that the seance would be as prolific a phenomena as usual. We were, however, all much interested in the experiment, which was to demonstrate how far the invisible powers would be able to make use of their medium under such adverse circumstances. The seance was held in the dark as usual. For about half an hour nothing happened, except that I was touched on my left shoulder. Soon after this, one of the sitters expressed a doubt of there being any spirits in the room. The words were hardly out of his mouth when 10 pairs of chairs standing against the wall were knocked down behind me. A little later Uncle made himself known, and then his nephew Christopher. John King manifested, by voice only, an hour and a quarter after we sat down, and greeted those whom he knew individually. He then held a consultation with Uncle, just behind Husk. Uncle said, "The medium is in a bad position. I think he had fallen over, with his head in front of Mrs. Alleen." John King said, "Yes, he is," and shortly afterwards left us, saying he did not think they would be able to do much. Foley sang one verse of Rocket in the Cradle of the Deep. Earlier in the evening two spirit voices joined in our singing. It must have been over an hour and a half after we sat down that Uncle came to me and said, "Admiral, don't press so closely to the medium." I had kept our forearms together. I drew my elbow away a little. A minute or two elapsed when I heard a large chair placed with violence on top of the table, striking some object in front of me. The chair was a heavy one. The object, as I discovered afterwards, was one of the slates. The chair was back to me. Uncle then said, from behind Husk's back, to Mrs. Alleen and to me, "Please rise when we lift the medium." There was a heave-ho, and Husk was lifted out of his chair at the table and placed in the chair on the table. He must have been taken over the back of it, because Mrs. Alleen had to stand on tiptoe and I had to stretch my left hand as high as it was possible for it to go. It was a very neat job. I felt nothing touch my body or arm, but two or three times I heard Uncle exclaiming to Christopher, "Up with him," just as a mortal might do when lifting a heavy weight. The lights were switched on, and there was the medium sitting mournfully on top of the table, back to me, coming out of trance. I immediately looked at the chair he had left. The front part of the seat plumbed the edge of the table. During this seance there were no materializations, no cardinal, and no playing of the zither, fairy bells. I attach the remarks of Mrs. Alleen :soft-, test seance, Psychological Society May 2, 1905. My testimony must of necessity be somewhat similar to that of Admiral Usbourne Moore, for we were so close together, having only the medium, Mr. Husk, between us, that I heard all that Uncle said to the Admiral, and also the conference between John King and Uncle. I was conscious that Mr. Husk, in his unconscious condition, was in a very awkward position, for my right little finger, which held his left little finger, was twisted forward, and was painful and uncomfortable owing to the vice-like grip of Mr. Husk, in his trance, upon it. At the end of this particular seance my right little finger was in a very swollen and inflamed state, in consequence of the strain put upon it. Nothing happened in the way of phenomena for fully half an hour, but my arm was pressed many times, and my husband was able to speak to me 3 or 4 times, once calling me by a pet name known to no single person in the room. Uncle then came to me, and asked me to rise from my chair when they, the spirits, lifted their medium. I did so, and, tall woman as I am, had to stand on tiptoe, still holding on to the medium's hand. The lights were then turned up, when we all saw Mr. Husk, sitting in a chair, on the table at which we had all been sitting, just coming out of trance, and in a very dazed and bewildered condition, astonished to find himself in such a strange position. There were no materializations because of so much power having been used up in the levitation of the medium. Some spirits joined us in the singing of a hymn, and Foley sang the second verse of Rocket in the Cradle of the Deep. Thus ended a thoroughly convincing proof of the power of this great medium, used by his band of good spirit friends, one of the very great and many proofs vouchsafed to me. Signed, E. A. K. Aline. This was the last occasion upon which I saw Mrs. Husk. She passed over 3 weeks later, while I was abroad. May 29, 1905. Circle of 11 people. A clairvoyante sitting next to me, whom I had never seen before, corroborated what other clairvoyants had said respecting a figure standing near me, which was certainly Iola. She materialized twice on this evening. The second time her head dropped slowly down from 2 feet above the table. When the neck was level with the table, the slate fell over her. Husk was accompanied by an old friend, who sat next to him. The manifestations were much the same as usual in quality, but not so numerous. 30 June 20th. Circle of 14 people. In the middle of the materializations, two new solos were beautifully rendered by male spirits, who declined to give their names, Forever and Forever, by Tosti, and The Children's Home, by Cowan. When Ebenezer took the zither through the floor, we heard the playing distinctly below. As it burst through the floor on its upward journey, I saw a light, or it may have been the phosphorescent patch under the instrument, as it touched the spare chairs at the side of the room. On this evening I heard, at one time or another, 8 separate male voices, from bass to tenor, and I saw faintly the figure of the cardinal as he passed near me when giving the individual benediction. On June 26, 1905, I sat with the medium Williams in a friend's flat in Eaton Mansions. On July 27, circle of 13 people. At our private room. Medium Husk. Uncle came to me and said, I saw you last night sitting between Major and Mrs. R. Correct. Williams and Husk are both controlled by John King and his deputy uncle. At one time these two mediums worked together. July 24. Circle of 12 people. I now sat 2 feet from the medium's left hand, where I could obtain a more private view of any face that materialized to me. The zither on this evening altered its gyrations round the circle at my request, and went from one person to another as I desired. When Iola appeared, she reached out and touched me with the slate. A Norwegian lady was spoken to by her mother in her native tongue. A few days before this evening the room had been lent to some passers, who held a seance with Husk as medium, the only stranger present being Mr. Gambier Bolton. I understood that the only language spoken by the spirits was that of the sitters. Uncle alluded to this circle, and said that all the time there was an animated discussion going on in the surrounding circle of spirits as to the propriety of doing away with the Towers of Silence in Bombay, where the dead are laid out on gratings to be eaten by vultures. Many of the unseen visitors were in favor of adopting the methods of Hindu cremation. 31, October 17, 1905. Circle of 15 persons. 15 minutes or so after the materializations began to appear, I saw a light over Husk's head. This was corroborated by a clairvoyante in the circle, who saw this light detach itself from the medium as a form, and move to a position over me, where it floated very bright. Another lady, who was a stranger, also saw this light. It remained by me for nearly an hour. On October 21, in my library at Southsea, my relative A. was sitting at a ear board, when the word Buller was spelt out. At the seance on October 23, Uncle said he came to my room on the previous Saturday night, 21, and tried to impress A. When asked what he said, he replied, "Oh, I cannot remember exactly. Probably I'm your uncle, or uncle, or perhaps I gave my name, Buller. Uncle always speaks as if he had a stone in his mouth. He certainly said Buller. His correct name when in earth life was Muller. Note the curious way the name came out in my room." The sensitive A. was playing with the India pointer, but it is evident the name came to him first clairaudiently. The hand only impressed the pointer at the command of the brain. I was sitting on Husk's left, 2 feet from him. The left side of my head was touched several times.